looks like the cat that swallowed the canary, kind of.
Oh, yeah?
Ready? Are you ready? Anybody present to come for? Welcome to Senate Highways and Transportation. Today is January 12th, 2023. The committee will come to order, and Ms. Burke, will you please take the roll?
Thank you, Chair. Vice Chair Friedel.
Here.
Vice Chair Olson.
Here.
Senator Beard.
Here.
Senator Dunwell.
Here.
Senator Glimm.
Here.
Senator Gross.
Excused.
Senator Kelker.
Here.
Senator Mandeville.
Here.
Senator Tribus.
Here.
Senator Usher.
Here.
Senator Vance.
Here.
Chair Manzella.
Here.
Thank you.
We have a quorum. We're good to go. All right. Just some basic announcements. Please silence your cell phones. And when you testify, please step to the mic, adjust the mic for your height. Spell your last name for us if you would. Make sure you've signed in as a witness outside the door. And your testimony is a matter of public record. And with that, we will begin with Senate Bill 120. This begins the hearing for Senate Bill 120. Ms. Senator Webb.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. I bring to you today, Weber, W-E-B-B-E-R, two B's. Not going to lose that one B, so... I bring to you Senate Bill 120, which is establishing the Chief Earl O'Person Memorial Highway on the Blackfeet Indian Reservation, Highway 89, right outside Browning. It's brought upon request of the 17,000 members of the Blackfeet Indian Nation of Montana. Just a little bit of background here. As before his death at the age of 92 in 2021, Chief Earl O'Person of the Blackfeet Nation was the longest serving elected tribal leader in the country before he retired in 2016. During his almost 10 years in politics, he met every president from Harry S. Truman to Barack Obama. He was elected his first term and a tribal council member in 1954 at the age of 25 and became chief of the Blackfeet Nation in 1978. Earl O'Person would position himself as a go-between, linking his American Indian community to the wider world and the country. He was a regular witness at the congressional hearings and a frequent guest of heads of state around the world. He drank tea with the Shah of Iran and spoke at the 1988 Republican National Convention. He's probably the only Blackfeet that's a Republican. Just to let you know that. Okay. He urged his tribe to become more entrepreneurial, and he persuaded government officials and venture capitalists to invest in the Blackfeet-owned businesses. He was equally aggressive in asserting the Blackfeet Nation's rights against the federal government, who he felt often ignored them. In the 1980s, the Department of Interior began to lease land for oil and gas production in the Badger Two Medicine region adjacent to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. He insisted that the tribe had given only the land rights, not the mineral rights, and he helped lead the 40-year campaign against oil production in the Blackfeet, the Badger Blackfeet area. Upon hearing about his death in 2021, John Tester stated, Chief Earl O'Person was a fierce advocate for the Blackfeet Nation and Indian country for his entire life. The world is a better place because he was in it. He will never be replaced. And that is true. Senator Steve Daines called Chief Earl O'Person a great Montanan and a great American. And it was an honor to know him. Governor Greg Gianforte would also state, "Chief Old Person leaves a lasting legacy with his love for his people, unparalleled strength of character, dedication to service, and commitment to preserving cultural heritage." Indian Country Today, which is a national Indian newspaper outlet, wrote, "Old Person held valuable cultural knowledge and embodied Blackfeet leadership and tradition. With his passing, the Blackfeet Nation have suffered a huge loss." The Blackfeet Tribal Business Council stated, "A chapter of our history has come to a close. The entire tribe acknowledged this profound loss of one of our greatest cultural leaders." University of Montana, Seth Bodner expressed his deep sadness at the loss of Chief Earl Old Person. He continued, "He not only led the Blackfeet Nation with wisdom, grace, but also had a profound impact on the Grizz family." He was a diehard Grizz fan. Just have to tell you that. "The weight of this loss will last. We are all better having been influenced by him." Dr. Carla Bird, president, former president of the Blackfeet Community College, stated, "He was such a profound person who knew so much of our culture, our history, our community. He was our connection to our ancestral ways." Just a little about Chief Earl Old Person. He was a great advocate for education. I got my education because of him. Okay. He never went to college. That wasn't in his time. High school was the college degree of his time. If anybody passed the eighth grade, they were educated. But he would always joke around to anybody who would listen. He says, "I have a PhD, posthole digger." So he, and it was always funny. I mean, we've heard it enough, but it was always funny because he said it. All right. But given that, he holds an honorary doctorate in human letters at the University of Montana. He was awarded the Janet Rankin Civil Liberties Award. He became the first recipient of the Christine Miller Memorial Award for Excellence in Native American Studies from the University of Lethbridge. And in 1991, the University of Montana endowed a $5,000 scholarship in his name for Blackfeet students attending the University of Montana. So a little bit of personal history is he was born in 1929 to Juniper and Molly Bear Medicine Old Person. He never spoke English until he had to go to elementary school in Browning. So his family spoke nothing but Blackfeet. In 1936, when Browning High basketball team earned their first trip to the state tournament in Great Falls, he was 7 years old and he danced during halftime. But he would also become one of our greatest basketball players that Browning had ever put out. He was a fixture at Browning basketball games until he was at, I just have to have a caveat there. He loved all basketball. He would sit there, even if Browning wasn't playing in a tournament, he would be sitting there watching the games. So he was a basketball fan till the end. He supported all his nieces, nephews, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren in all their sporting events. In 1937, an 8-year-old Earl Old Person and several other Blackfeet students traveled to Cleveland and New York. They performed tribal dances to raise money to build a new church in Browning. He talked about riding his first subway and eating in a restaurant on Broadway owned by the boxer Jack Dempsey. A decade later, he joined a delegation of Boy Scouts that went to the World Scout Jamboree, an international festival held in Mont-Saint, France, outside Paris. He was the sole American Indian in the group. He would pitch his father's tent along the banks of the Seine River. In 1954, a contingent of Blackfeet elders persuaded him to run for council. And he remained on council for the next 62 years. 1971, he was invited to Iran to help celebrate their 2,500th anniversary of the founding of the Persian Empire. The Shah, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, asked him to have tea with him, and later he would invite the Shah to stand with him to deliver a speech. But in doing so, a hush settled over the room, and he cut his speech short. He asked the interpreter later on what had happened. As far as he knew, the interpreter said, in 2,500 years, no one had ever had the audacity to ask the Shah to stand up, except they're a low person. In 1978, the family of Jim Whitecalf, the previous Blackfeet chief, granted him their forebears' hereditary title, making Chief Earl O'Pearson the leader of the 17,000-member tribe. Upon his death, Chief Earl O'Pearson would remain a determined proponent for tribal interests. He said he was suspicious of the government, given its long track record of broken promises to American Indians. Like I said, I went to school because him and all the elders said, this is the way we have to go now, is through education. Education is now our tool, and that we need to come into the 20th century. Even though he did not continue in school after high school, he pushed all of us to do that. All my lifetime, I knew no other leader except Earl O'Pearson. A lot of us in this room were the same way. I asked for a due pass on establishing the Chief Earl O'Pearson Memorial Highway just outside Browning on Highway 89 going towards the high school, because his family had requested that, because he was a big fan and supporter of the Blackfeet children of our reservation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Weber. Okay, we'll start with our proponents, and if possible, I'd like to try to keep the testimony to around 3 minutes each. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Madam Chair, and the rest of the Highway and Transportation Committee. My name is Patrick Iwaki. That's spelled Y-A-W-A-K-I-E. I'm representing the Blackfeet tribe today. I'd like to submit my testimony as well for the record. For all the reasons that Susan stated, such a delegation will honor and memorialize Earl Oldperson's legacy. Renaming of the highway provides Native American Blackfeet recognition locally and internationally because of all the many tourists who travel throughout the homelands of Earl Oldperson and the Blackfeet Nation. We would like to thank the Highway and Transportation Committee for hearing us today, as well as Susan Weber for sponsoring this bill. And again, for all those reasons, please support Senate Bill 120. Thank you.
Thank you. Next proponent, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sharon Kickingwoman, K-I-C-K-I-N-G-W-O-M-A-N, and I am here representing the American Civil Liberties Union of Montana, based in Missoula, Montana. I am a proud member of the Blackfeet Nation, and I'm honored to share some words about our chief's life and legacy. We urge a yes vote on SB 120 to honor Chief Earl Oldperson by establishing the Memorial Highway in Glacier County on the Blackfeet Reservation. Chief Earl Oldperson, whose Blackfeet name was Stusapu Coldwind, passed away on October 13, 2021. He was chief of the Blackfeet Nation for nearly 70 years and the longest serving tribal official in the United States. He was a true leader of the people and a physical manifestation of Blackfeet knowledge and ways of knowing. He grew up in a Blackfeet world where he was surrounded by Blackfeet culture and ceremonies. He spoke Blackfeet as his first language. He lived his life guided by these teachings and ways, and because of this, he was always unabashedly proud to be Blackfeet. whether that was proudly wearing his braids when he played basketball for the Browning Indians or setting up a teepee in Paris, he was not ashamed of who he was, despite living in a world that demanded the opposite. He was chairman of the Blackfeet Tribal Business Council for 34 years, president of the National Congress of American Indians, and he held enormous accolades. He has helped establish the first tribally owned bank, the Native American Bank, which is located in Browning, Montana. He holds an honorary doctorate from the University of Montana, and in 1998, he was awarded the Jeanette Rankin Civil Liberties Award from the ACLU of Montana. He met, as mentioned, every president from Harry Truman to Barack Obama, and he was invited to countless international affairs. In 1993, he presented the first State of Indian Nation address before this very legislature in Helena, Montana. In all rights, Chief Earl Oldperson was a legend, but more than his accolades, he was a fixture in our community. He was always willing to share his knowledge, and he was a widely respected leader. He showed us all the true meaning of service to others. He embodied what it meant to be a good relative and a Blackfeet person, and we were very fortunate to have him. His fierce advocacy for Indian country and our people paved the way for so many of us. It's his fight and his encouragement for our youth to get an education that inspired my own path as I've pursued a career in education, politics, and advocacy. And one of the best things about our chief was the gift of his presence, and there wasn't an event, ceremony, funeral, basketball game, or any gathering he would miss. He had a presence that was calm and gentle, and one that was forever welcoming. Nobody or nothing was insignificant to him, and that care he brought to life was palpable. Our chief loved us, and the memories that I have with him I will treasure for a lifetime. As our people have mourned his loss, we know Chief Earl Oldperson will never be replaced. We collectively enter a new era in our history. May we honor his life and his legacy by doing what he did best, and that was being good to one another and to always show up. Chief Earl Oldperson, he left a strong message, which was to...
Can you wrap it up?
Yep, please? Help one another and look after one another, and I know he's doing that now, and I urge this legislature to take on that message and pass this important bill. So Nipoa, Pinopokoke, Igakima, get up, never give up, and try hard. The ACLU of Montana urges a yes vote.
Thank you, Ms. Kicking Woman. Next proponent, please.
Madam Chair and committee members, Kevin Kicking Woman, K-I-C-K-I-N-G-W-M-A-N, and that's my daughter. And I better do good because my students are watching me at Browning High School. You know, when I was thinking about coming to talk for the Senate Bill 120, I can only hearken back to being in a little place called Star School, Kakadusia Deskinimatstokyo. And Earl's sister stayed right across the street from us. And I used to look out the window back in the 70s and I'd see him pull in. And I'd always wonder, who is that man? And through the years, I found out he was how important he was. But he didn't act like that. He was very humble in everything he did. And being someone who sings native songs, our Blackfoot ways, I've learned a lot from him and had some time to talk with him and learn songs. And the way we, as Blackfeet people, songs are so vital to us. And he... saved, in my thoughts, he saved our songs. Never once has he ever turned you down if you wanted to know a song. I had to go up and I'd ask him, and he'd say, well, this is that song. So you're going to talk about history and stuff, the songs of Blackfoot history, because we can't do anything in ceremony without songs, and so how important they were. And so as a kid growing up with multiple foster homes, to see a man that was so heroic in his ways and how he took us under his wings and made us feel like human beings, not only to us, but to all state of Montana and the United States. He would go and speak on all the tribes' behalf, and a very humble man. So I hope that SB 120 passes with your help. And I'm going to sing his chieftain song before I leave. And this was Stusapu, was his Indian name. And this is his chieftain song. Oh, Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kicking Woman. Next proponent, please.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Arlen Edwards, E-D-W-A-R-D-S. I'm representing the family. Earl was my grandfather, and I knew a man on a personal level, you know, everything that Ms. Weber, Sharon, and Kevin said, you know, were true, and I thank them. But on a personal level, he did stress the importance of education. He did stress the importance of culture and being good to each other. You know, they're not just saying that. He always expressed being good to each other, no matter who you are and where you come from. So, you know, if this bill is passed, it's not only going to let the outside world see our culture and our identity, but who we are as a Blackfeet people, you know. Or Mr. Earl Person stood for a lot of things. And like it was said, he never turned anybody down. So, you know, I'm honored to be here on behalf of the family. And if this bill is passed, you know, a lot of history is going to be gained to the outside world. So with that, please support SB 120 and everything that it contains. There, too, I'd just like to sing the warrior song. Earl always stressed the importance of our societies and who we are. And he always said, wherever you guys go, present yourself well as Blackfeet, Mississippi. I'm Scott B. Bikuni. So I'm going to sing the Blackfeet Warrior song, also the Bikuni Society song.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Next proponent, please. Next proponent. Mr. Campbell, do we have proponents on Zoom?
Madam Chair, we do. We have Regina, and I will put her on. Go ahead, Regina, when you're ready.
Oki, hello to the Senate Highways and Transportation Committees. My name is Regina Faye Madplume, M-A-D-P-L-U-M-E. I'm an enrolled Kootenai member of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes, and I'm also a descendant of the Blackfeet Nation, where I was born and raised. I knew Earl Olperson as a kind, caring man who had the love of the Blackfeet Nation close to his heart. He was the grandfather of some of my closest friends, and he was loved by all. I support Senate Bill 120, establish the Chief Earl Olperson Memorial Highway for the reasons that my predecessors have just gone over. I knew him, too, on a little bit of a personal level through some of my friends, like I said. His accomplishments were great, and he lived a great life, and he accomplished many things. The thing that I held close to my heart about Earl Olperson, which is important to a lot of us Blackfeet, and as you could hear it through our songs that he sang for 26 years at the University of Montana graduate ceremony. Him and the University of Montana president, Dennison, at the time, had a friendship, and they agreed that the songs, the traditional Blackfeet traditional songs, needed to be heard not only by the Blackfeet people, but non-tribal people. And so that is what was very honorable thing, to have our songs and our culture and educating non-tribal people about those things is what I take away greatly from Earl Olperson. But his memory and his stories will continue on for generations to come. I support Senate Bill 120 to establish the Earl Olperson Memorial Highway for the reasons stated and many other reasons you will hear. I'd like to thank the Highway and Transportation Committee, and also thank you to Susan Weber for sponsoring the bill. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Ms. Madplume. I hope I didn't massacre that. Further proponents?
Madam Chair, committee, I don't know if there's too much more I can say, but I can talk on a political side of being with Chief Earl Olperson. I served with him on his last term on the Blackfeet Tribal Business Council. And my great-grandfather Representative Tyson Renningo from House District 16. I'll spell my name so no one butchers it. Running Wolf, RunningWolf. And like I said, I served on the last term with Chief Earl Olperson. And I think this is the very last thing that we could do as something through the state. It's he sat through negotiations for the first negotiations of the state for gas tax, alcohol tax, and other gambling, and made that happen for the Blackfeet Reservation. He sat across from some great leaders. He was with Mansfield in the group. Like he'd say, it would be like you guys honoring Mansfield or somebody else through the state. This is how important Earl Olperson was. And he was a man of knowledge that, like I'd say, if they did IQ test on him, it would probably go off the charts. And everything was by memory, songs, hundreds of songs, and even his travels. I went to Washington, D.C. with him, and I think at that time he was 86 years old or 87 years old. And I said, Earl, I'm going to head over to the Capitol, and then from there I'm going to go to so-and-so and so. And I said, you want me to accompany you? No worries, he said. I'll be there. So we all show up, and Earl would beat us to every event that was there. The only thing he was upset about is we all showed up with our war bonnets and all of our attire, and he said, I have probably more right than anybody, and I've never heard Earl talk like this. He says, I probably have more right than anybody to be wearing this war bonnet. Why didn't somebody notify me so I could have packed it around the Washington, D.C. one more time? And that's what kind of guy he was. He was very humble. He was a true leader. And it wouldn't be, like we said, a lot of us aren't in successful positions, or I wouldn't be standing in front of state legislator or be a House representative if it wasn't for Earl Olperson also and the things that I've accomplished in my life. So I think this is just a small token, but to us, it's a big token from the state to pass this unanimously through this committee, get it through your floor, and hopefully myself or Representative Weatherwax, who's from the Blackfeet Reservation, will carry it unanimously through all the House floors, and Gianforte will sign it with no problem. Thank you, committee.
Thank you, Representative Running Wolf. Further proponents in the room? Further proponents online? Any
Madam further? Chair, I did have one on my list, but it does not appear that they are here.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Campbell. Any further proponents in the hallway? Mr. Sargent, no? Okay. Last chance, proponents in the room? Okay, moving on. Opponents. Any opponents in the room? Any opponents in the room? Any opponents online, Mr. Campbell?
Madam Chair, there is not.
Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we'll move on to informational witnesses. You've all provided quite a bit of information about Mr. Oldperson. Okay, seeing none, questions from the committee? No questions from the committee? Okay. Oh, excuse me. Senator Vance.
I have a couple of questions for the sponsor, please.
Madam Chair, Senator Vance.
Okay. Senator Weber, is that true? Okay. I've seen you in the House so many times representing, and in the Senate too, so I kind of, it's like, okay, I can't remember.
Senator.
I apologize. Senator Weber, I have a couple of questions. I appreciate so much the testimony that you all provided, first of all, because this gentleman was definitely a great leader for your tribe. A couple of questions that I have is, was Chief Oldperson ever a member of any form of law enforcement?
Madam Chair, Senator Vance, no, he wasn't. But in his position as a chief and on the council, he did supervise the Blackfeet Indian Law Enforcement Services. That was part of his job, but he was not a police officer.
Being very unfamiliar with the reservations, any of the reservations, I'm from Gallatin County.
Senator Vance, please go through the chair.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Chairman Manzella, members of the committee, I'm a freshman and I forget protocol. Thank you so much. Am I good to go now?
You bet.
Okay.
Follow up.
Okay, thank you. So in your vision with the reservations, just in general, let's stick right with your reservation because I realize each one is handled differently. So would you consider Chief Oldperson, did I understand this correctly, that he would have within the reservation, should have there been any issues of, he would be the one that you guys, the people would go to with enforcing laws within that reservation?
Madam Chair, Senator Vance, we're not another world, but
right.
We do have protocols. We
yes.
have, but our tribal leaders are head of all of our law enforcement services. He was, anytime a member of the service came, our servicemen and women, he would be the one to send them off. He would be the one to bless them. He was the head of state for us. That's what he did for us. Anytime we needed something. My son is a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. He came home, he went in right out of high school. Well, it was Earl that sent him out, and it was Earl's prayers that brought him back. So everyone of our service members, our police force, anybody that went out to offer up their lives for this country, our country. Mm-hmm. He was there. And when he came back, he honored them. He would honor them. Yes, our sons came back. Our daughters came back. And so for us as Blackfeet and even the Confederated Salish and Kootenai, we're real closely tied that he was a true traditional leader of our people. He was our ambassador. He was our president. He was, you know, anything you can think of. That's what he was as his role as chief.
Follow up?
Yes.
One last question. The location of the memorials, the two signs, will they be located on tribal land?
Madam Chair, Senator Vance, well, they are on tribal land, but they're a state highway. They're Highway 89 that goes, Highway 89 goes, it's all over, you know, goes through Shoto and all the way up mm-hmm. to the Canadian border. And so Highway 89, why the family, I talked to his daughter and his son regarding where they may want this. And they wanted it because there in front of the high school, because he was such a big supporter of education and our children. And there's also a fairgrounds there that holds his name as well. And so that was just the place to have it. You know, it's his place. And so, but it is a state highway, state supported funds, Highway US 89.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Vance. Thank you, Senator Weber. Additional questions? Senator Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a comment to direct to the sponsor, please.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Senator Weber, I just wanted to share my gratitude to you for bringing such an important piece of our historic background from the state of Montana to the fore so that we can very much inadequately, but as much as we can at this moment, to commemorate this individual for being such a stellar representative of the state of Montana and for your community. The love and respect shared in this hearing is quite remarkable. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Beard. Senator Olson, Andrea Olson, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would also like, on behalf of my community, in which your community shared, Chairman Earl Oldperson, he came and spoke many times at the University of Montana and throughout our community. And so on behalf of my community, I extend our deepest sympathies and gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Additional comments, questions? Senator Usher.
Madam Chair, for the sponsor.
Senator Weber, thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Usher.
Madam Chair, Senator Weber, what you refer to, I think you said the fairgrounds were named after him. Can you tell us what other things were named after him in and around the tribe?
Madam Chair, Senator Usher, just the fairgrounds, but it holds his Indian name, Charging Home. It doesn't say Earl Oldperson on there at all. It says Charging Home Park. And that was named when it was first established. And so we just used his name on that, but the Blackfoot name, not his English name.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess a statement. So,
Senator Usher. Go ahead.
Thank you and gratitudes to you for bringing this bill and for his service to Montana, and it is much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Usher. Any further questions or comments from the committee? All right. Seeing none, Senator Weber, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee. I thank you for listening to us. I thank you. I thank my tribesmen here for their beautiful music. If you don't know the music, it was to honor It's not honoring Earl O'Person, it's to honor you. That's how our music is. And so when they sang that, they sang it to you. Earl has been a mainstay in Montana all his life. And he was so proud of being a Montanan. He was proud of being a Republican for you, Republicans. But he was like I said, he was the only one when we did have his services. There was two Republicans in that whole gym. Our governor and our chief. So we had a good laugh on that one. But sorry about that. I ask for a due pass, and I thank you very much, and I thank those that gave testimony. And with that, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Weber. This concludes the hearing for Senate Bill 120.
Usher, I'm not switching.
Are you going to come back to the smoking caucus?
Yeah.
The committee will come back to order, please, and we will begin the hearing on Senate Bill 33. Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I am Senator Mike Cuff, Senate District 1, northwest corner, borders on British Columbia to the north, Idaho to the east. And I'm here to present a bill on behalf of Public Service Commission. This is basically a repeal bill in a situation that is no longer needed. And if you look at your fiscal note, you know, that's one of those cool ones that has all zeros. And I'm going to, if you look at the assumptions, you're just going to walk through those very quickly, and that will be my introduction, and I will turn it over to PSC President Jim Brown. Number one, historically, Class C motor carriers used their authority to transport railroad crews, equipment, freight. In 1994, freight was federally deregulated, and existing Class C motor carriers used their authority to carry household goods within a 50-mile radius of a particular location. Because household goods moves were deregulated in 2021, when Class B carriers were removed from PSC jurisdiction, there is no longer a need for a motor carrier to use a Class C authority for household goods. And jurisdiction over other uses for Class C authority have been federally preempted. There are currently 8 carriers with 26 Class C motor vehicles paying an annual $5 registration fee. There will be a decrease in annual state special revenue of $130, 26 carriers at $5 apiece. Now, that's a decrease to state revenue. It's also an increase to private industry. So, folks, that is my opening. That's the whole sum and total of what this bill is about. There's no need for that law in the books. President Jim Brown is available to provide additional testimony, should you like. And with that, I will sit down.
Thank you, Senator Cuff. We will now hear proponents on the bill.
Good afternoon. My name is James Brown, last name spelled B-R-O-W-N, just like the color. I have the pleasure of serving as the president of the Montana Public Service Commission. I am here today on behalf of my colleagues at the Montana Public Service Commission. I will just make a personal note that, as many of you know, I have lobbied the Montana legislature for many, many sessions and have Now in my third year as the Montana Public Service Commissioner, I have never appeared before this committee, so this is a first for me. Thank you. Well, I think Senator Cuff did a great job in explaining what this PSC bill does. Basically, this is a statutory cleanup bill. It repeals obsolete and unused provisions of Montana law. The bill originated as a result of the PSC conducting an extensive review of its statutory authority to determine which, if any, statutes in Title 69 may be dated or preempted. This past summer, the Energy and Telecommunications Interim Committee unanimously approved the pre-introduction of this bill. At the request of the PSC, there were no opponents to the bill during the two hearings that were held at ETIC. Senator Cuff explained that Class C motor carriers are carriers that provide transportation under services under a contract, charter, or agreement that establish the price or charge for the service. As Senator Cuff said, there was a historic reason for having these type of license that is no longer relevant in today's modern society. As Senator Cuff noted, that transportation of freight has been federally deregulated, so we no longer have jurisdiction over freight. And then the remaining Class C license holders are essentially household good movers. They were also fitting under Class B licenses, which I believe one of our senators carried the deregulation of that last session. And so nobody really utilizes these licenses. There's no public safety need for them. There's really no public good public policy reason to have them. And so this is an agency cleanup bill, and we urge a due pass on Senate Bill 33. Happy to stand for questions. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Wonderful. Thank you. Commissioner Brown, any further proponents on the bill? Any further proponents in the hallway, Mr. Sargent? Any proponents online, Mr. Campbell?
Madam Chair, there is not.
Okay. Seeing no further proponents, any opponents in the room? Any opponents in the hall? Any opponents online?
Madam Chair, there is not.
Thank you. Seeing no opponents, do we have any informational witnesses in the room? Informational witnesses in the hall? Informational witnesses online?
Madam Chair, there is not.
All right. Seeing no informational witnesses, questions from the committee?
I have some questions.
Vice Chair Olson?
Thank you. Madam Chair, I have some questions for Mr. Brown, please. Commissioner Brown.
Commissioner Brown.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Brown.
Chair Manzella, Senator Olson.
My questions go to, if you could describe exactly the what the Class B carriers that were removed that make the Class C carriers. When we say household good movers, are we talking about companies who come in and pack up your house and move you to another location? Or what are we talking about? Because I'm not actually clear what businesses we're actually talking about deregulating now.
Sure. Madam Chairman, Senator Olson, essentially what we're talking about here are people like two guys in a truck that have their local truck that move household goods around your local city. That we're not talking about interstate travel type hauling.
Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Yes, follow-up.
So there are currently eight carriers right now. Is two men in a truck an example of those carriers?
Yes. So I, and by the way, Madam Chairman and Senator Olson, I made that business up.
No, there are two men in a truck.
Oh, there are? Really?
There is two men in a truck, yeah.
Apparently they are. And I've used a real business. I apologize. I did not know that was the case.
Mr. Brown, please make sure you don't talk about anybody in particular.
Yes, I'm sorry about
very
that.
Vague. Thank you.
Follow-up, Madam Chair. I'm sorry.
Follow-up?
I wasn't sure I actually got my question answered there. But Commissioner Brown, the concern that I have is when we say it's not necessary and there are people doing it, I guess what I'm worried about, you know, when we deregulated Uber or taxis so that we could have Ubers, now I get a lot of complaints about not having anybody who you know, where we don't actually have the services anymore that we allowed to leave our jurisdiction, for example. And I think even in big cities where we thought Uber was going to work for everybody, it doesn't, right? They don't have to go to certain locations if they don't want to, where taxis had to. So that's what I'm asking. In comparison to that, what is the role that you did play in regards to taking complaints about these kind of carriers? And if you could explain what that kind of complaint would look like, and if it's very common to have them.
Madam Chairman, Senator Olson. So let me see if I can do my best to answer your question. So when you took Class B licenses out of our regulatory jurisdiction in the 21 session, generally what that was is taxi cabs, but we also had household good movers that held Class B licenses, okay? And so legally, the argument can be made that household good movers don't even need to file a Class C license with us because, in essence, they were deregulated in the 2021 session. Okay. But what, to answer the second part of your question, any kind of complaint would involve a poor service, perhaps, would be the best way to put it. But I can tell you that after 2 years on the Montana Public Service Commission, we've never had a complaint against a Class C hauler.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up.
So in 2021, when we fully deregulated, which would have been the movers, but also the taxis, what are people to do now when they have legitimate complaints about the inability to secure a taxi or a mover? And I guess what I'm wanting to know is, if we've learned anything from 2021, if we are creating a bigger problem by this cleanup bill, it doesn't seem like we're creating a bigger problem, but are we addressing a problem that we might need to be addressing, which is how do we make sure we have these services available? As you know, throughout the state, we're losing a lot of different kinds of services. We deregulated nursing homes, for example, and now they're closing on us. And so it's your purview to recognize problems in these areas, and I'm just wondering if you can enlighten us whether or not we have a problem in this area. And if I'm just...
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I understand the thrust of your question. I'll answer the last question most directly. The question of whether or not there's adequate services for household goods movers is really a question of the market and whether there is a need, and that will dictate how many household goods movers want to do business in Montana. And to do that, they would just need to file for a license with the Public Service Commission. We don't dictate how many household good movers there are. There can be an unlimited amount or none. Going back to the first part of your question about what happened in the Class B situation with the deregulation of taxis, in the 2 years, if you will, since the deregulation of Class B passed, we have not had a single call or complaint to the commission about lack of a taxi service. So that would suggest, in my mind, just anecdotally, that the market is supporting transportation of passengers either through Class D holders, which of course would be your Ubers, for example, or people are finding other means of transport.
Thank you, Commissioner Brown. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Dunwell, question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, question for Mr. James Brown. So I'm a novice in the Transportation Committee, so forgive me for probably a very elementary question, but when these businesses are no longer Class C motor carrier, what are they, and do they have a license? I know there's two questions in there, but sorry, forgive me, Madam Chair. I mean, they're still licensed and such.
Senator Manziel and Senator Dunwell, I think the short answer to your question is that you would still have these kinds of businesses in theory if the market supports it. They just don't need to get a license from the state of Montana in order to operate. I'm not sure how better to answer that question.
Follow up? No, thank you. So who has the authority over them to assure that they're serving consumers and not providing a disservice rather than a service?
Chairman Zella, Senator Dunwell, under the current statutory scheme, it would be us, the Montana Public Service Commission. However, one of the reasons that we're bringing this bill is because they've been deregulated as part of the 2021 legislation as it is. We have notified some of these Class C carriers that they really don't need to be filing for licenses with us.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
So what, if I may follow up, so what we're trying to do is just repeal this section of the code.
Further questions from the committee?
Madam Chair, may I make a statement?
Yes, Vice Chair Friedel.
Committee and people that are speaking, please address the chair when you are making questions happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Friedel. Any further questions? Senator Tribus.
I'll just throw in a quick statement if I could, Chair. Kind of the philosophy behind the limiting Class B, which was my bill in 2021, was it's what's called a con law. It's CON. It's certificate of need law, which means you have to ask for permission of your competitors and the PSC to then open a business. And so the taxi companies already had, Uber was competition, so there was already competition that existed. So eliminating that extra barrier, because again, you have to ask your competitors, just like some other bills we're going to hear about other class licenses, but not here, but in the legislature, is eliminate the need to ask your competitors if you can open a business in a geographic area was the idea behind deregulating them.
Thank you, Senator Tribus. One more follow-up, Vice Chair Olson?
Yes.
Senator Mandeville?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Commissioner Brown. Looking at this bill, it appears the licensing classes or the motor carrier classes are now A, C, D, and E after B was repealed. This bill, if it passes, would repeal C. So we would then have Class A, Class D, and Class E, which is quite confusing. I'm wondering if it would be, if it would clear it up or just make it more confusing if we renamed Class D and Class E to Class B and Class C.
Commissioner Brown.
Madam Chair, Senator Mandeville, that seems like big government to me to start renaming licenses when licensees, existing licensee, are familiar with the type of license they have, Senator Mandeville. I'm not sure you would accomplish what your goal is.
Interesting train of thought. Thank you, Senator Mandeville. Any further questions from the committee?
I do have one more.
Vice Chair Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one more question for Commissioner Brown. Commissioner Brown, I'm, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On page 5, at the top of the page, section 3, it says the commission may fix and determine reasonable maximum or minimum rates for the operations, and it specifies as Class C motor carriers, but required for the best interest of public transportation. I'm wondering if you believe the PSC has any interest in regulating and making sure that there is regulation around public transportation to make sure that it does exist for people in a, you know, safe, reasonable, fair way, as is required under the next provision.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, so let me answer this question as straightforward as I possibly can. We are the Public Service Commission. We are the regulator that was created by the Montana legislature to carry out the jurisdictional mission that you give us. I think that question is a matter of public policy that's within the legislature's purview and jurisdiction to determine whether you believe that our continued regulation of Class C licenses somehow promotes the public welfare, if you will. The agency's position is we're not a policymaking body. We leave that to you, the legislature.
Follow up. So I understand our role, and I guess what I'm wondering is, I mean, you're on the commission. I'm wondering about how we as policymakers, and if you have direction for us about how we guarantee access to public transportation if we don't have some form of protection and an agency that's required to, for example, take complaints or make sure that the industry itself is working properly in a way that is, under the next thing, just, fair, and reasonable.
Madam Chair, point of order. I'm looking at the title, and talking about public transportation is not in the title, so I would say that that's off the bill. About repealing a class of motor carrier classification, not public transportation.
I agree.
I can address that a little bit, Madam Chair. I'm actually looking right at the language we're getting rid of, which is says that the commission is the person to fix and determine reasonable rates in the best interest of public transportation. So when we, and I know it's been a process now of 2 years, but we are deregulating what used to be part of a public transportation system. And I'm just wondering how we're going to fulfill that responsibility and how we might take direction as we're fixing these laws. These are the last remnants of the recognition that Class B and C motor carriers were part of our public transportation system that was regulated by the PSC for many years. So I think it's relevant, but I mean, that's why I think it's relevant.
Chairman Brown, would you care to address that? Vice Chair Olson, I think that might be the need for another bill. You might need to come up with a solution if you feel that there's a problem.
Madam Chair, this is would be then my question of a very specific question on lines 2 and 3 to Commissioner Brown. Would you be opposed to an amendment that just took out Class C motor carrier, so then Section 3 would read, the commission may fix and determine reasonable maximum or minimum rates for the operations of any motor carrier when rates are required for the best interest of public transportation. So what I'm doing is leaving in that intent and that responsibility.
Through the chair, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just explaining.
Commissioner Brown, nothing is as easy as we think it should be. Senator Cuff, do you have an answer? Would you like to address that?
I mean, I'm...
Madam Chair, if I may, I feel like I can address this question. So, Senator Manzella, Chair Manzella, Vice Chair Olson. So, I think the point is raised, which is a good one, is that the purpose of this bill is to basically repeal sections of the code that are no longer applicable or have been preempted. Okay, and so Class C licenses, getting back to what they were for and are for, was for transportation of freight. That used to be within the PSC's jurisdiction. That has been deregulated federally and has been preempted. So we have no control over prices of freight carriers, all right? So then the second part dealt with household goods movers. Interestingly, in B, Class B licenses, those also regulated household good movers, okay? And the reason that we had a Class C was because household good movers used to get this license in order to do both household goods and transfer of freight. Okay. So, household good movers, as we have discovered as a result of our review of our statutes, were deregulated by the bill, and so we don't have jurisdiction over them. So, what we're trying to do is clean up this section of the code.
Thank you.
So it's not really, Madam Chair, it's not really a question of regulating prices when we don't have jurisdiction.
A follow-up, Madam Chair. One quick follow-up.
This is the last one.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Well,
thank you.
What I'm asking is, if we took out the Class C motor carrier, the Class C language, and but left the rest of the language in that to that section 3, lines 2 and 3 on page 5, that would still maintain the commission's kind of ability and jurisdiction over reasonable
rates. Point of order,
rates.
Asked and answered.
Oh, I didn't hear everything. He said ask and answer. Sorry, Madam Chair.
Chair, I can answer the question. So, Vice Chair Olson, I think keeping the language in the code would be a non-sequitur, if you will, because we wouldn't have the authority to be regulating the entities in the first place.
I was taking
Thank you. Time. Thank you, Chairman Brown. Any further questions from the committee? Thank you for your patience, Chairman Brown. No further questions. Senator Cuff, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to close. I appreciate the responses that Commissioner President Jim Brown made. And I think he was put in the challenging positions of trying to defend bringing code into compliance with what this legislature decided. But I think you did a pretty good job of answering and made darn good effort, and I appreciate everything that went on here. If there were to be an amendment, you know, part of this discussion perhaps belongs in executive action, but if they were to ask me, would I take it as a friendly amendment? No, I would not take it as a friendly amendment. I think it's beyond what the bill says, and I think I do appreciate his action. I thank you for the serious efforts that you've given. It's good work on your committee, and I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cuff. This concludes the hearing on Senate Bill 33, and we will take a 10-minute recess and come back for executive action. Let me ask, does concerning Senate Bill 57, are people working on amendments?
I am.
You are? Okay. So we will not take executive action on Senate Bill 57 today. Does anyone have any objection to taking executive action on Senate Bill 120? Okay. All right. Let's take a...
Go ahead. We're good.
So you object to taking executive action on Senate Bill 33 or not?
No, we're at 120.
We're going to take a recess, a 10-minute recess,
minute.
And we'll come back and do 120. Senator Vance would like to hold off on taking executive action on 33. Is that what you...
I'm going ahead. We can take exec on 33 and 129.
Yep. Point of order, committee. When addressing the chair, please address the chair as their official position. Thank you.
If there are objections to taking executive action on Senate Bill 33, we will hold off until next Tuesday. But we will take a 10-minute recess at this time and come back and take executive action on Senate Bill 120. Please return at 20 after 4. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. That's great. I've got it.
Okay, the committee will come back to order, and we will now take executive action on Senate Bill 120. Is there a motion, Vice Chair? Vice Chair. Friedel.
I can make the motion.
Oh, I'm happy to make the motion.
If there was anybody else who'd like to.
Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 120 to the table.
Thank you, Senator Usher. Is there discussion?
There's none available.
Okay, thank you. Roll call vote? No discussion. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Vice Chair Friedel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Senator Beard.
No.
Senator Dunwell.
No.
Senator Glimm.
Yes.
Senator Gross.
No by proxy.
I apologize, Madam Chair. No by proxy.
Senator Kelker.
Yes.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Tribus.
No.
I need clarification on what we are voting
Madam
on.
Madam Chair, please.
Yeah.
It was, I need to change.
Madam Chair, I moved Senate Bill 120 to the table.
No. Thank you.
May I change my vote, Madam Chair?
Table. No.
To the table.
It wasn't tabled.
Excuse me.
Just one moment, please.
A motion to table it.
Okay, so the motion is non-debatable, and we are taking a vote as to table the bill.
Okay. So we're starting again.
We better start.
Let's start again now that we have clarity.
Vice Chair Friedel.
Yes.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Yep, thank you.
The vote was no.
The vote was no. Senator Beard.
Yes.
Senator Dunwell.
No.
Senator Glimm.
Yes.
Senator Gross.
Senator Gross votes no by proxy, please.
Senator Kelker.
No.
Senator Mandeville.
Yes.
Senator Tribus.
No.
Senator Usher.
Yes.
Senator Vance.
Yes.
Chair Manzella.
Yes. Now, do we need to do the reversing? Senator Usher. Wait, excuse me. What is the vote?
The vote is 7 votes yes, 5 votes no. The vote passes.
Okay. Thank you. Senate Bill 120 has been tabled. Senator Usher, you have a comment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I just want to explain why I went there, if I may.
Please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I know I'm in the Senate now. In the House Transportation, we had a lot of these bills. And in the House, we came to a conclusion that we would only pass if someone died in the line of duty in the military or law enforcement, again, in the line of duty. And that's because we ended up with tens, maybe 20 or more of these. There are many and many, many other ways to significantly recognize the great service to our state and our country for people. And that's why I was very clear to ask about the fairgrounds being named. And it's close to my heart, and I know it is to Senator Friedel. You know, we had one of our judges locally who was a retired police officer and then was a judge for 30 years.
50 years. He was also military and a probation officer as well as senator.
Because he did not die in the line of duty is why his memorial highway did not pass. But there are other ways to be able to name roads or other buildings or other places in the community that are actually a better high reverence for those people, for local community. So I apologize. I don't want to disrespect his memorial and honor, but that's just my core belief. And again, that's the way we dealt with it in the House. Again, I know I'm in the Senate now, but I wanted to explain that.
Thank you, Senator Usher. I concur. We have we established an unwritten rule the same in the Senate Transportation last session. And it is very painful. Actually, this is a difficult vote because the man obviously deserves honor and recognition. And he was a very meaningful person in the life of his tribe. And as you indicated, there are many ways to honor his memory. And so I appreciate you saying that. And I actually received some discipline for voting for the last one we did, which was a police officer who did die in the line of duty. And I was reminded of Davy Crockett, who was asked to provide money to a widow, and he took the money out of his own pocket to provide her, but he said it's not his money to give as far as the government's money. So Senator Kelker.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excuse me. Okay. Well, Kelker's first.
Next.
I just want to know how widely people understand what you've come to, you know, I didn't realize that that was a problem. There have always been, and I've been in the legislature for four sessions, 8 years, and there were a lot of memorial things, and if that is known to other people, I think that would be very helpful.
We have talked about trying to write a rule or put it in rule, but I guess at this point it is an individual decision. Representative Dunwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize I'm a little bit out of view here. This whole line of senators is kind of out of view, but I do appreciate being recognized. I did have my hand up for a while. So I just, we all have our votes and we're all entitled to our votes. Madam Chair, excuse me, I'm sorry, point of personal privilege. I should have said that to begin with. Still a little rusty, I apologize. I mean, no offense. Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize we all have our votes, and that's why we're here. I'm just disappointed that we weren't able to grant this request by the Blackfeet Nation. This is a little piece of highway on the tribe's reservation by the school that Chief Earl Old Person advocated for in the way he advocated for education. So again, I'm just disappointed and encourage us maybe to reconsider taking it off the table at a later date. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I would like to also ask us to think about this and reconsider for two reasons. One, Chairman Earl Old Person was a committed public servant for his entire life, not only for the Blackfeet people, but to the entire state of Montana. He did public service throughout our community in this state and affected many, many people. He was in charge of the law enforcement on the reservation for the Blackfeet Nation. He helped write the rules. He worked with the state to do the kinds of things that need to be done in those policy areas. And he literally died in the line of duty, never stopping his commitment to public service, to the people of this state, to the people of his tribe. And this was a bill requested by the entire tribe, 17,000 people. And I just want to point out that it was either two sessions ago or maybe three, we passed the Jeanette Rankin Memorial Highway, and she did not die in the line of duty as a police officer. So this unspoken rule that has been created is not the way we've done this highway resolutions in the past. We certainly have done it for people that did not die in the line of duty, and I think that there is no greater person to honor in this way. And I would really hope that we think about this and decide that this part of highway, which is traveled by members of the Blackfeet Nation as well as Montanans, and that we recognize this as requested in the most ceremoniously and beautiful way in honor of this man. Thank you for your time. Committee.
Thank you, Vice Chair Olson. Your point is well made and well taken. And this concludes the executive action on Senate Bill 120. Anything for the good of the committee? We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions for you if you have just a minute. Let me adjourn here, though. No, wait, that's not how I do it.
Would it be possible for you to come down to my office?
Sure, I'll do that. That would be great.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.